Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
We're here, and you know what? There's no way else for me to start this episode off than by doing this. The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by the respective companies. Our thoughts and opinions, strictly our own, the opinions of one Meech. And then our special guest for the day, the Sword of the Jedi, returning once again. So your discretion is strongly advised for this episode.
All right. So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
So as Meech mentioned, I think we severely underestimated how divisive this show was. That was when we reviewed episodes 1 and 2. So in today's episode, we are doing, again, bi-weekly reviews of The Acolyte. So today we're doing episode 3 and 4. Honestly, episode 3 probably should add its own review to start with. So like we mentioned, Jamie, we had to call you back on as our resident Star Wars correspondent. So it's good to have you.
Of course.
All right. So I don't know how else to start, but with the pulse of the people. So I watched 3 and 4 back to back. I didn't watch episode 3 the week it came out, but I saw some messages about certain stuff. So the way we're going to try to do this is we're going to have a bit of a Star Wars therapy session for the fan people out there towards the end, just because in the recap, we can kind of break down some of the things of why people were mad outside of the non-controversy stuff that we don't necessarily need to get into. But what have y'all kind of been reading about the pulse of the people?
Is it time? Because, man, the pulse of the people, absolute uproar. We thought, as he mentioned earlier, is the fact that we were not prepared for how divisive the show was going to get on. And of course, it was episodes 1 and 2. So we thought, like, all right, everything's all right. Everything's all right. You know, the normal people hating, the usual suspects, you know, the well, look at who we have here hating on certain properties. Exactly. I wasn't going to say their names, but thank you.
Yeah, well, let's call them what they are. Okay. Okay, Meech.
Like, all right, we're going there. Okay, so it's gonna be that type of episode. Perfect. So let's get these absolute despicable non-human beings out of here. All right. So what we have going on here is that the Pulse of the People is absolutely an uproar. Episode 3 caused so much backlash, so much uproar that it is still sending ripples out to this day. And episode 4 was not much better. But as they like, people are skewed. We have folks here, they're making some things up. And then folks here who are screaming about certain things. And then there are people like us here on this podcast who are like, bro, you did not have to take it that far. All right. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say for right now, because this is only a drop in the bucket for what in the world I have in store today.
Okay, Jamie, how have you been feeling so far about the show, particularly episode 3 and 4, and then how have, like, you sensed people feeling about the show?
Yeah, I think I'll answer the second one first. I think I don't really know a whole lot of people who I've, like, had active conversations with who are watching the show, but I know the Instagram comment section is just quite the place to find opinions. So, yes, as has already been said, by the other Meech, there's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions about what's going on in this show. I think for me, and this is true of almost every Star Wars show for me, probably with the exception of like Obi-Wan and Ahsoka. I don't usually form an actual opinion of how I feel about the show until I've seen a whole season of it, just because I feel like with some of these Star Wars shows, like even The Mandalorian was like that for me. Like, I wasn't really into it at first until we got to the end of the season. And I was like, oh, OK. And then even then, I think it was the second season that really sold it for me for obvious reasons. But yeah, so on that note, the jury's still out for me on this show. I do think they've laid some really interesting groundwork for storytelling. I think they're trying to break the mold, clearly, which is interesting. I think, yeah, the way they're doing some things is kind of interesting, but, you know, we'll see how stuff plays out. I am very curious to see, especially after how episode 4 kind of unfolded, and especially kind of my second time watch through. I feel like I noticed maybe a couple more things that I did the first time, but I'm really curious how the storytelling unfolds. So the short answer is, jury's still out. Haven't really decided yet, but I'm interested enough that I'm going to keep watching.
Yes. And then just kind of what I picked up, Meech, you mentioned it 2 weeks ago when we did episode 1 and 2, where it's like, it was kind of skewed where critics love the show, but fans like hate it. For like people that I've kind of seen and talked to, it's mostly been like, they don't hate it. It's just like, it's like, oh, it's okay. It's something to entertain me. It's kind of like the general vibe that I've been feeling, more so than everyone who is involved should burn for creating the show that I feel like is on the internet. I do have criticisms of not the lore stuff, because I don't know too much, which you two will get into once we get into the recap, but some character decisions and stuff like that for especially episode 3. But we're going to get into that. So now we can get into our recap, starting with episode 3, Destiny.
All right. And it's, of course, my destiny to start us off here by starting off with what probably caused some hatred in the first place. So, all right. So, you know, after the end of the last episode, you know, we had, May, she's like going out to get to Kel Naka, a.k.a. the Wookiee Jedi, you know, want to take him out. But, you know, our boy Wookiee, you know, he trying to, you know, he protecting people. And then this episode happens and smash cut to flashback. Yep. So this is basically the flashback episode detailing the origins of May and Osha on their planet of Brendok 16 years ago when they were little kids. All right. So we have Osha meditating under a tree. She's admiring butterflies. I know they're not butterflies, but for the sake of argument, we're going to call them butterflies. It doesn't matter. May was the one who told, like, hey, this is like a dangerous place. But yeah, and then Osha's like, you know, I'm cool. This is a cool place. I love it here. Like, this is where I, like, feel most calm at. And you see, like, May using her force powers to basically force stasis all of these insects. And you're just like, okay, we getting right into the Calcestis. Let's get it. But essentially, Osha, she's not with it because of the fact that May appears to be, like, harming the insects with her abilities. And she's like, hey, quit it. And like, while that's happening, the main argument is the fact that Osha, she doesn't want to do the ascendancy or the ascension. Not ascendancy. I'm thinking something else. Ascension. That's basically where she does, like, a ritual with their coven of witches. No, not the Dathomir witches. Because they're not on Dathomir, and this is 100 years prior. But
also, just quick confirmation: these are not Night Sisters, right?
No,
they're just
so. Yeah, that's yeah. I don't know if we want to sidebar into this now or later, but yeah, there's like questions surrounding that. Like, if we have witches, why are they not Night Sisters? Why are they not some offshoot of Dathomir? That yeah. Anyway, I don't know if we want to get into that now or later, but good question.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, I was like, It could, basically they try to, they just kind of like explain somewhat, like it's like, oh yeah, it's just probably like a different offshoot of force users, because again, this is High Republic era, anything goes until it inevitably doesn't. But yeah, so essentially they're doing that, and then one of the witches, I forgot her name already. Oh, Master
Coral? Coral, probably.
Yeah, Mother Coral. She's the one who's like, hey, what y'all doing out here? Let's get out of here. Make sure nobody sees you. And then in the back, you see you see a true fan, a true fan, just peering out from the tree line, spying on these girls in the woods alone. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Master Drake.
Woo! We're gonna leave it at that right now. We're gonna leave it right that. But we see somebody skulking from the trees, and it turned out to be a young our young boy, the true goat, Soul, as a young man. But yeah, that's how the episode starts. And we get into them back at their coven in the mountains.
Yeah, I don't know if
none but females.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna take this over recap, Jamie, because I would speak on it. So yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so once Coral kind of shows up and she's like, what are you doing out here? It's not safe. She's very clearly angry at them for being at the tree, which you're like, okay, whatever. The argument is apparently that it's not safe. And then so Coral brings them back into this coven. They haven't really, well, they'll say it's a coven in a minute. And then they want some, like, I don't know, Star Wars cookies or whatever you want to call them. Yeah, spice creams. And then they're the kind of who ends up being the mother overall of the coven is Mother Anasea, I think her name is. She shows up and she's like, no, let them have the sweets. It's fine. And then we kind of already see that there's this conflict between Coral and Anasea about, like, what are we doing with the girls? Like, kind of all this kind of stuff. They seem to have an interesting relationship that doesn't, like, play out per se, like, right in that moment, but you see that there's, like, a closeness of the two of them working together. So these two kind of definitely seem to be in sorts of leadership capacities in this group kind of from the get-go that we meet them. Then we hear, you know, we've already heard that there's supposed to be this ascension ceremony. The girls are sent to, like, go to some kind of practice room while these to, like, Mother Coral and Mother Anasea have this argument about raising the girls. She thinks that one is too lenient with the other one. One's like, it's normal behavior. Like, why are we worried about this? So it's interesting that, yeah, you kind of, you'll see this play out over the rest of the episode, but you have Mother Coral who's like, seems like she's more prone to be worried about things and, like, wants to kind of have a tighter leash and tighter control on what the girls are doing. And then you have Mother Anasea who's like, let's be free-flowing about it. It's fine. Like, they're kids. Let them be kids. But also, we're going to turn them into witches with this ceremony. I don't know. It's a whole thing. Mother Anasea is actually a really interesting character throughout this episode, I think, especially on rewatching it. But anyway, so we go to, I think the next thing that happens is, like, the practice room. Yep. Where we have May and Osha being twins, meaning for those of us that grew up with twin siblings, we know how that they are. They're kind of, you know, at the doing the normal sibling banter, getting at each other type thing, pushing, shoving, all that fun stuff. While Mother Anasea is trying to do this lesson, and we see that she's a force user. It seems that the way that they refer to the force is the thread. So that kind of seems like how they kind of view the things. It's like the whole, the thread ties us together, pull the thread, you reveal your destiny, all that kind of stuff. Mother Anasea gets frustrated with the girls being distracted and not paying attention. And yet, I think it's interesting that we see she kind of, there's this scene where she's like, block me or whatever, like, to the girls. And she kind of, like, has this, like, force push thing that May jumps in and blocks, and Osha kind of just hides behind May, which I think is interesting and kind of ties back to the beginning, because Osha's kind of doing the same, like, force thing with the butterfly, but not really in, like, a cruel, I'm trying to hurt it kind of way. And then May shows up and she's like, seems to be really going after it. So it almost seems like Osha might be afraid of this power that they have. And May's like, oh yeah, I'm a witch. Like, this is what we are. This is what we're going to do. I do think it's also really interesting because from there, the way that a lot of the rest of the episode will kind of play out is we kind of go to the girls getting ready, I think, is the next thing after that. And they kind of have this, not quite an argument, but kind of an argument where Osha's like, I want my own life. We're different. We're not the same. I, like, want to do my own thing. And May's like, no, we're the same. What do you mean? Like, I share everything with you. Like, why don't you share stuff with me? This isn't fair. Like, you know, normal sibling stuff. But it seems that May is very much cleaved to Osha in a way that Osha is, like, not cleaved to May, which is the really interesting kind of conflict we have right as this story is kind of developing. So we then go to this ceremony. We see that Osha still really is not certain about wanting to do it. Oh, I guess we kind of skipped a little bit apart. So Mother Anasea, like
the controversial part.
I don't know.
Controversies in this.
I'm thinking of when Mother Anasea meets the two of them in their room and they're having the conversation where Osha first like voices that she doesn't want to do the ascension ceremony. May's like, of course you want to do the ceremony. Like, of course this is what we want. Kind of still, this kind of seems to be one of the central conflicts of this episode is what May wants versus what Osha wants, and about how like Mother Anasea's like, you were joined together in the womb at like before you were even born. So like Mother Anasea seems to be pushing kind of the same mentality as May of like the thread chose for you, like you're destined to be tied together. But Osha is still like, no, I don't want this.
I defy my destiny.
Yeah, right. And so then we kind of move on to getting ready for the scene, and we have more arguments about, I don't want this. Yes, you do. Why don't you want to like do everything with me? Because I want everything with you. Because I want my own life. All this kind of like central conflict things. And then we get to the ceremony, which has a really interesting kind of like ritual aspect to it. Very interesting, like ritual chanting and other stuff that's going on, which on a side note, I think, again, it's like it's very weird to see witches in Star Wars that aren't Night Sisters and that aren't associated with Dathomir, though it does, like, appearance wise, it looks like Mother Coral could be Dathomir. That's not really outright said. Yeah, like she definitely looks like she could be like connected. So I don't know. They could have some kind of connection to Dathomir, because Dathomir is ancient enough. We know that. Especially based on what happened in Ahsoka.
I have a question. Does she kind of look like Maul?
Yeah, she's a Zabrak, same species.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Maul's also from Dathomir. Maul and Savage Opress. For those of you that watch Clone Wars. Anyway. So we have this interesting ceremony where we have this like song and chant business and all that jazz. And then we have some sort of like eclipse thing happening in the background that like seems to be some sort of like, I don't know, probably full moon height of power business, which is why they're doing it then. May goes first. And of course, she's like, yes, I pledge to all the things. And then she gets this mark on her forehead, which is kind of the same mark that we saw at the very beginning of the show in the first episode when Indara first recognizes that, oh, this is who you are. So May completes the ceremony. We come to Osha, and Osha is still really uncertain. She's kind of like, I do, like, questioning, not really confident. And she seems to get rescued just in the nick of time from actually finishing the ceremony, because it turns out that the Jedi have arrived and have breached the perimeter, and they show up to the ceremony demanding to see the children, basically. I don't know if Meech, you want to take it back from there.
Oh boy. All right, here we go. We see young Torben, young Sol, young Indara, Jedi Master Trinity, and then Kel Naka. They pull up and they're like, hey, what you doing here? We here to see the children. Of course, they're like, hey, there are no children here. Kids, get in the back. Get in the back, don't see nothing. And so it's like, hey, it's okay. Just come on out. It's all right. And basically, it's like, hey, we notice, like, hey, they may have potential with the Force. And you know it's against the rules and for other people to train Force sensitives other than us. And you're just like, And it's like, we strongly advise for the children to be tested. And from there, you're just like, we about to see some true Jedi buffoonery right now. That's crazy. It's crazy.
Accurate.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Even in the High Republic era, they still managed to mess everything up.
I mean, so, the reason the Jedi Order fell.
Because they didn't mess with my boy. But in any case, right? So Anasea, like, she's just basically trying to like ensure that like there's no violence or anything like that, because Cora, she's just like, I'm ready to like spear these fools at a moment's notice. But they're like, no, chill out. Let's, and of course, like, OSHA, she comes out and like she's like very intrigued with him. Like you see her like and Soul, like they connect like almost immediately. Because Soul is that much as much of that guy. He's the only Jedi like from this era that I'm actually gonna sing praises for. That's it. That lets you know something. Oh, and the heavyset Jedi. He cool too. He cool peoples. But
I know his name.
don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Just representation, okay? But in any case, like essentially, like they chill out. Of course, like Soul like shows OSHA like, hey, this is a lightsaber, and like, hey, you want to be trained to be a Jedi? She's like, OSHA, she's like, hey, mom, can I do this, please? And by mom, I mean Anasaya. And then Anasaya relents. She's like, okay, we can let them. Oh, no, never mind. Just remember what happens is what happens to Torben. He gets snatched up real quick. And when I say real quick, he's like, eyes is blackened. He's like convulsing in the air. And
supernatural black demon eyes.
Oh, yeah. He truly needs an exorcist right now. And unfortunately, I'm not in the universe, so I can't help him. But essentially, she's like, hey, if you leave, like he'll be normal again. And they do that. But of course, like OSHA, she wants to, again, she really wants to be trained, like begging Anasaya at this point to be trained. Trinity asks like, hey, what about the other child? And like, god dang, man. So Anasaya is like, all right, we'll let both of them be tested by you Jedi. And then boom. So, and then we cut over to later, like when the children are going to bed, we have basically a new argument happen between Anasaya and Coral. And they're basically like, Coral, she wants the Jedi dead and whatnot. But instead, Anasaya is like, hey, just let them be tested and hopefully they will leave. But then Corey's like, what if they show that, hey, they are force trained, like they're able to be trained and they want to go with the Jedi? We gonna lose our daughters. And this is when the controversial moment happens, where Coral states like, hey, she carried the two children. But Anasaya says that she created the twins, we can talk about it like right now. This is the part that had everybody in the uproar, because like, well, first of all, having two women having children, oh, that's gonna upset everybody. All right, that's gonna set the entire incel community like, oh Lord, now women don't even need men anymore. This is about to be, this is a whole tragedy.
Which it's debatable about whether or not we did in the first place. Anyway, continue.
Do I need to go and get my, you know what?
You opened the door for it, man. I had to take it.
No, you didn't. You did not have to take Jack. You did not have to take Jack. Now I have to go find my lightsaber. All right.
Oh, man.
But,
oh, the editing on the.
She's not sorry, by the way. She's not.
I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all. Better, men. Be better.
All right. But in any case, yeah, it's caused an uproar, because the main issue is like, hold on. Did she create those children using the Force? And if so, does that diminish Anakin? They immediately hopped from the ship to an island 8,000 kilometers away. That was a massive leap. It's like, oh snap, because she created a children using the Force, that means that Anakin's role as the chosen one, that's up in air now, because of the fact that these children, they fulfill the prophecy now too. They're chosen ones too, basically. Yes, that is the logic I've seen people go down. It's like, oh yeah, these two twins are chosen ones because they're born without fathers. And also, just back again, they're children born of the Force. And also, this technically diminishes Darth Sidious, Darth Plagueis, everyone who's like, all right, let's try to use the Force to create life. And in my opinion, y'all completely missed the point.
Wasn't it also, it used the term from the current sequels, the Force Dyad thing, which like people already hated, or was that something else?
So that term hasn't been used, but I was going to get into it later because this feels very much like they're trying to toy with Force Dyads again with how the twins are.
Yeah, especially the whole like...
We can pause that for like slightly another, because I think just thoughts on all the stuff that Meech said. I just, first of all, if your argument is about the whole, oh, it diminishes Darth Sidious starts playing it. Well, they had to learn it from somewhere, first of all. And we know that Plagueis spent a long time like studying and trying to learn this stuff, which means that he didn't invent it. It already existed. He just learned it from somewhere. Second of all, these are witches. We know that witches do crazy things in Star Wars. Okay. So like this shouldn't actually be that surprising to you that like some witch is going to use Force witchcraft to like create babe. I don't know. I don't feel like it's that surprising. I think that like, you know, it makes a lot more sense than many of the other possible directions that they could have gone down for how these twins exist. And I've seen that argument about like, oh, what does this mean about Anakin? I do think that like it sheds some light on maybe Sol's reaction and the Jedi's reaction when Mother Anasaya says that they don't have a father, because, you know, if the Jedi Order is out here like looking potentially for this chosen one, then, you know, we can potentially see that like, oh, what if they've been looking for the chosen one for centuries? Like, you know, there could have been a thought that crossed their mind that like, oh, maybe it is one of these girls. Maybe these girls have a role like that. And I don't think that diminishes Anakin at all, because like if this is what the Jedi are looking for, then like, yeah, you're going to see what you're looking for. So anything that seems like it might match up, they're going to test it and whatever. But that being said, yeah, no, I don't think it's that surprising that that should be a thing that is able to happen in a coven of witches. You can use the Force to do things, and that power had to come from somewhere. And obviously it didn't come from within the Jedi, probably didn't come from within the Sith either. So that leaves us with, okay, maybe kind of like I think you guys talked about in the last episode, this could be majorly setting up for Plagueis to really take the scene and do what he did. So I don't know. I don't have too many issues with that, because I think it does, of the things that they've done, it's one of the things that does make more sense. I think it would have, again, made more sense if we've explained, like, what kind of witches these are. Where do these witches come from? Do they have ties to Dathomir? Because I think that's the thing that I struggle more with, actually, is that, like, in Star Wars lore, witches equals Dathomir. And so, like, if they're trying to expand that, okay, whatever. But maybe let's, like, explain that a little further rather than just having these witches of unknown origins that are just kind of here. But maybe we'll get into that in the future of the show. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. So I'm sensing we're itching to talk about other stuff. So I'm going to speed run the recap. If I miss anything, just fill it in later as we get into it. So essentially from there, the sisters are told to lie during the Jedi Force test for it. So it's essentially whatever is in your heart, say the opposite is what they're told. Mei does that, light work, that tells a lot about her character. Osha, she's hesitant. She sees some kind of animal. She says it's a mountain. And then she says something else. And then Sol is like catching on, because, you know, he's like, okay, something is weird here. This is clearly like, you're not an idiot. And then she says, oh, that's not what you said it is. And it's like, oh, so you actually know what it is. And then he gives her a whole speech of kind of say what you want so you're able to speak the truth. Essentially, I kind of butchered that, but it's essentially is you have the ability to tell the truth and what you want.
That's
as well,
the courage to tell the truth.
Yes. So she passes essentially, and she doesn't even see Mei, but Mei just kind of looks at her. She's like, oh, I hate you. So then with that, she kind of reports to Mother Anasaya. Mother Anasaya is like, hey, we really want you to be a witch. You won't be able to see us if you leave, but it's your choice to choose what you want to do with your life, which is really impactful speech. So as she's prepping to leave, I have a lot to say about Mei once we get done with the recap, but Mei is like, yeah, you ain't going nowhere. You know why you're not going anywhere? Because I'm going to kill you. Locks the door and sets the fire. So essentially with that, Osha is able to escape. There's something...
Oh, to 100 so quickly.
There's something that's really weird about how all the witches are suddenly dead from a fire.
Yes.
The explosion. Yeah. The explosion doesn't really make sense either, because it seems almost disconnected to the fire. But we can get into that in a minute.
With an explosion... You scatter. explosion scatter, it seemed like all the witches were,
all in one area.
Yes, we see them all huddled together in one spot, and then we see Mother Anasea in a different location. So essentially with that, able to escape. So then May and Osha are on opposite sides, kind of on the beam. I have another question about the Force, because Soul has the option to choose. He could have saved both if the Force is what we think it is, but he was only able to save Osha. So with that, she wakes up from the fire, he tells her that essentially everyone is dead, including her sister. And then that kind of wraps up the episode. So if anything I missed, but we can get into the other controversies from the show.
I did like, I can kind of throw this in and we can talk about this briefly, sort of recap, but I did really like the dialogue. I think this is right after they get tested when they're back in their girls' room, about how like Osha's like, the Jedi are good, and May's like, the Jedi are bad. And Anasea's like, it's not about that. And I think that was a really cool moment of dialogue, because I think that's what, in a way, the more recent Star Wars stuff has tried to explore a little bit more about how we've all been very black and white absolutes. Huh? Interesting. About what is the Jedi? What is not the Jedi? Like, what is the light? What is the dark? And they are kind of setting up May and Osha as like maybe the two halves of this like dyad-esque thing, where like maybe one represents the light, maybe one represents the dark. And like, kind of, May does really embody a lot of the qualities that we've kind of attributed to the Sith, right? She's very passionate. She's very driven by her emotions. She's very like fiery, all or nothing.
Murder happy.
Situation. Well, yeah, like she doesn't really think about what she does before she does it. And even like, even your comment, Meech, about like, oh, the fact that she's so willing to lie shows a lot about her character. I think really what it shows is how loyal she is, though, because like she, from the beginning of when we met her in this episode, has been all about like, this is my family. These are my people. I'll do anything for this. Like, this is all she wants. And so, of course, she's going to do anything she can to like stay with her people, to stay with her family, to stay and be a witch, because that's what she wants. And so I think she is very clearly driven by her passions, which is a Sith quality. But I think it's not necessarily saying that like she is dark, quote unquote. I think she's just supposed to represent and embody the qualities of that, so that it kind of gives us this tension to play with. Whereas Osha is more reserved. She's more, again, kind of seems like she's almost afraid of her own power, to the point where in the first couple episodes, I was questioning whether she's even Force sensitive at all, because she seems to have just shut that part of herself off. But anyway, she's very much more eager to, she's more obsessed with like, what is the right thing? What should I do here? Rather than like, what do I really want? So I think that's kind of an interesting opposition, tension, whatever you want to call it there. But then you have Mother Anasea kind of being the voice in the middle that's like, it's not really about good or bad. It's like, it's just a thing. And like, we have to like see the thing for what it is, and that it's so much bigger than that. Because obviously we kind of have this witch coven sort of being what we know as the Jedi Order to be in the like Revenge of the Sith and original trilogy era, where like they're the ones that are being hunted by some body, but then it seems like the witches are being hunted by the Jedi in this situation. So it's a very interesting complexity of things that's going on here. But anyway.
All right, Meech, do you have anything? Because I also have stuff.
Well, yeah, I just think that perhaps like the main thing throughout this episode, besides the main controversy that we discussed a little bit. I mean, I could definitely dive into that a little bit more, especially the aspect that the circumstances of Anakin's birth is completely different in the case versus the twins. But in any case, right, I'm not going to delve into that right now, because I'm pretty sure the internet already beat me to it, or at least the true internet, the good internet, right? But in any case, like, my whole thing about this is, again, just the mystery of what in the world happened to the witches. Like, that's perhaps the biggest thing to happen. And also, I don't know about you all, but I'm have like a sneaking suspicion that like that the Jedi had something to do with it, because of the fact of how Torben, he's like, he wants absolution. And he wants to like atone before he died. And you're just like, okay, so if you wanted to die, but it shows here that like you were like not even near the situation, what would cause you to do that? So there's definitely more information that is being left out. Definitely more in terms of like, what was the involvement? What was the explosion caused? Why? what in the world is Trinity doing, and where's our boy Kelnaka up to, right? Like, because we only see Soul and his response and like what he's doing, and his primary objective, what it looked like, was grab the kids. What were the other three doing?
And the interesting thing about that is, and this kind of will tie over into the fourth episode, but like, it seems like whatever happened, Torben and Kelnaka never recovered from it, because you see that in episode four, that Kelnaka, he's the Jedi that definitely doesn't want to be found. And then, you know, I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but he's got all these symbols. Like, there's something going on with Kelnaka. Obviously, Torben wasn't in a great state. So for whatever happened, the Jedi definitely must have had something to do with it. And it seems like Indara, though we haven't really interacted with her too much, and Soul seem to be the ones that are more unaffected by it. I don't know if that's for Soul. I don't know if that's just because he was so focused on the girls and wasn't really, whether he was unaware of what happened, whether he was like, I don't know what his connection to it was, but it seems very clear that Torben and Kelnaka just never recovered from whatever it was that happened. So...
yeah, it's, we're all locked in, because Meech, that was one of my notes. I can't say what I wrote down about Master Torben, because like, it really made me mad at the end of the episode, thinking about episode two where he took the poison. And I was like, you killed yourself because May set the fire. That doesn't equate in my mind about like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, for you to do that is absolutely ridiculous. There has to be something else. And like, I had to take a step back and think about it to be like, that doesn't make any sense why you kill yourself for that. So this leads into my main thing is May. May's character is so oddly written, because like, she's an assassin of Jedi, right? In episode one and episode two, her attempts to assassinate Indara and Torben come off as comical in the first attempts, where it's like, the first one where she pulls up on them at the bar and she's like, fight me. And they're laughing at her like, what are you doing? And then the second one when she's trying to attack Master Torben and he has the force field around him. And it's just like, oh, this is weird. But then at the same time, she carries like the initial hatred of, oh, my sister is dead because of you. And then at the same time, I was thinking like, maybe she didn't set the fire. And then in episode three, she did set the fire and literally tried to kill her sister. So it's just like, I don't know.
We need a play over of that, like, we didn't start the fire song over this or something.
Over the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
We didn't start the fire.
So it's just like, it feels inconsistent, but I don't know what's happening, because at the same time, it's like, oh, I want to kill these Jedi for revenge, but then it's also the master. He's going to take me out if I don't do it. But it doesn't always come off as like, what is her motivation in doing this, in a sense? And then as we lead into episode four, where she's like, yo, I'm good. So I think from there we can start in episode four recap, unless you have anything else.
Nah, let's get into the day.
Whatever's left will probably tie in with episode four anyway.
Right. So I think we can just like speed run the episode four recap and then get into other stuff. And Meech, if you want to take off.
All right, so it starts off with, again, Kelnaka, he's on Kofar, you know, he's in his shelter, and like the Sword of Jedi mentioned, like, there's, like, a bunch of symbols. One of them definitely looked like one of the symbols that was at the Witch Coven, so you're like, what's going on there? Again, we partially won't know, because he speak Wookiee, and we can't understand it, and there's no subtitles for it, so what in the world? But yeah, so we get in Coruscant, at the Jedi Temple, you have Osha. She's basically like saying her goodbyes to the various Jedi. So she's saying goodbye to Jeki Lon, and after like she was training, and basically like, and she said like, yeah, I'm not gonna say goodbye to Master Soul because I'm pretty sure he's busy, and I'm gonna just head off my own way. And while that's happening, we get to see what happens in the Jedi Council, which provides.
I don't think it even really is the council, though, because they're saying that they want to avoid talking to the High Council or something.
Yeah, or I just call it the council out of convenience, because of the fact it's just a gathering of them Jedi in the war council room. Hey, I'm like,
before you get too deep, Meech, there was one person. I know it's like an actual person, but I wrote that he looks like a thumb from Spy Kids.
Yo.
What are you going to do, Ki-Adi Mundi, like that? Really?
Which is another retcon thing, Meech.
Here we go. Now let's rip that Band-Aid off. So we in the war room where basically Soul and, oh, dang, I forgot her name already.
Ernesto?
Yeah, Vernestra and all these other Jedi, they're in the war room and they're like, okay, this assassin here, she's clearly trained. It has to be, she must have been trained by another rogue faction of Jedi, which again is like, another Jedi schism, you say? Tell me more. And whatnot, and they're like, yeah, as you mentioned, like, yeah, we need to avoid telling the High Council about this, because like this can cause like mass panic, mass hysteria, and we're supposed to be keepers of the peace, and this is definitely not keeping peace. So while it's happening, and then like Master Soul, he's just like, hey, I can get through to May, but like I need to go find her and take her to go find her because I know she's gonna go after Kelnaka. And Vanessa, she's like, nah, because like technically she's after you too. But yeah, the main again. So yeah, that's just a whole thing that's happening. They're like butting heads about what to do. But basically, like Vanessa, she's like, hey, Soul, all right, you can go because of the fact like if because May we have something that May wants, and that's Osha. And like, hey, if Osha goes with you, like you. With you and a battalion of Jedi, in case she wants to wild out and we need to take her down, go ahead. And the main reason that people, this is cause for controversy number one of this episode, which is the fact that one of the Jedi in there looked very familiar. Yes, Thumb Thumb. And but then, and of course, he doesn't say like a word and like you don't mention him, but in the credits, it stated that this person is Jedi Master of the High, I mean, of not the High Council, of the Jedi Council, Ki-Adi Mundi. And the main reason people are in uproar is like, hold on, this is supposed to take place 100 years before episode one. Okay, well, actually, there's two reasons. Yeah, he's alive during the High Republic era. That's issue number one. And then issue two is the fact that this man said that the Sith had not been around for over a millennia. So this man is just out here lying and they're just retconning for no reason. Star Wars is over. Star Wars is through. Star Wars is terrible. Cancel Star Wars. It's over.
I think so. I didn't look this up for sure, but I was pretty sure. Wasn't Ki-Adi Mundi like around 200 years old in the prequel era? Because like, okay. I thought he was old enough that it could have been plausible. I didn't look it up though.
Okay, so I did. All right. So it turns out like in Legends, like on a trading card, it's shown that his age was like 90 at the time of that, at the time of like episode one. And that was the only information we ever got about like his age and or anything like that from a trading card. And people ran with that for so long. And of course, like Disney took over. And if you look at the Disney canon of everything, there's no information about him or his species because all you got was from that one trading card that people are in an uproar about because like, okay, they just retconned his age. Like, technically, if you looked at the Disney canon, like, hey, that trading card was flimsy reasoning at best. That was the only information you ever got. And you acted like this is the first time they ever retconned anybody's like age or identity before in Star Wars. That's crazy.
Not to mention the fact that George Lucas had Shaak Ti die like 5 different times.
Had Shaak Ti die.
Apparently he couldn't decide how she was going to die.
Yep, had her die a million times. We also, if you want to talk about retcons, Luke and Leia. People are quiet now. They forgot that was a retcon. Especially after she tongued her brother down. But
we also have the post Order 66 retcons where we keep seeing more and more Jedi survived Order 66.
Yeah, and also if they want to talk about retconning about people, Boba Fett is technically a retcon in terms of his identity. Because the fact originally he was supposed to have like, I think his name was like Jareel or something like that. That was supposed to be his identity. And then they retconned it to be somebody else because people didn't like that at all.
And we get a Darth Jar Jar retcon. That's all I'm hoping for.
All I'm saying like, hey, he's in Lego Star Wars. He is canon to me. He is canon to me. But yeah, that's main controversy. And then also, again, the whole, oh yeah, the Sith has not been around for over a millennia. And that came right out of his mouth in episode one. So you're like, the heck's going on when you got like this dark, this clearly force user doesn't know if he used the dark side, because all he saw was just this one force user who's going around killing Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Make that make sense. Make that 1 + 1 = 3, my guy. Because they are stretching logic on that one. But let's keep moving. Let's keep moving, because I was about to go into a major high horse. All right. So we got Mei and Kamir, aka the plug. Like, they're on Kelnaka. On Kofar, jeez, looking for Kelnaka. And essentially they're, and she's just like barreling forward, like, hey. And Kamir's like, hey, how you gonna kill Kelnaka without a weapon? This guy is a Wookiee. How you gonna do it with straight hands? The other two are just people, and you failed at killing without a weapon with them. So what in the world are you gonna do? If you kill this one with a weapon, you know the master not gonna be happy. You know Massa ain't gonna be happy about this. And then they're like, of course, they're camping together. He's like, because of the fact, like, hey, I need to make, because she's been going at this all day. She's like, hey, I just need to rest, because of the fact, like, hey, I need to go fight a Wookiee. I need to rest. Thank you very much. And then we cut back to Osha. She gets recruited by Sol to go fight his sister, to go find their sister. You have our boy Yord, and who's definitely dressed this time. And
crap.
With the Killmonger cut and just a bunch of other Jedi there. Yord is just looking after Osha, and she's like, hey, if I can't take out my sister, like, if she doesn't come with us and I have to take her out, I can't do it. You're going to have to be the one to do it. But yeah, they're on Kofar. They realize, oh, snap, he's in the forest. How we going to get to him? Then they have a tracker alien. And, you know, Basil? Like, yeah, little Basil right there. I was about to say Basil Carlo, like his name's Clayface. No, we're moving wrong franchise. But yeah, they're out in the forest. They're also going to him. And, and then with Mei, she ends up like, hold on, what if I can use traps? Because, like, Jedi's compassion is weakness. And like, all that's happening. And then it cuts to a point where, like, Mei, she sets up a trap, and she screams out for help that the other Jedi are here. And of course, I'm skipping over a bunch of parts, you know, like about like a fly and everything like that. That's not needed whatsoever.
Well, but I don't think the trap's really for a Jedi. It seems like it's very much for Chimera, because she's trying to like get rid of him.
Yeah, that. Well, I was getting up to that. I was leading up to the reveal that that Chimera falls into the trap, and then he's like. And she's like, oh, yeah, forget the master. I'm going to go be with my sister, and I'm going to leave you here hanging. And I'm going to go repent for my actions.
This goes back to my point about the Mei character. And I want to say the flashback is poorly timed, but I think there's going to be another reveal related to the flashback, which kind of ties in. But if you are still mad about the first two Jedi that you've killed, right? Kelnaka would have still been a part of that. So even if you were trying to kill for your sister, you still would have wanted to kill Kelnaka, because he allegedly was a part of like your whole coven dying. So like, that's kind of what's confusing, and it feels like her younger self was more evil than her current self, if that plays right.
Well, and I think that's where we get back to, like, is she really evil? Because I think loyalty is what she's really driven by, right? Because at first it's loyalty to her mother, it's loyalty to her coven, and now it's loyalty to her sister, who's the only family she has left. Because we even see, like, throughout the episode, kind of the walls start to fall down for Mei, I think, because at first she's questioning like how Chimera even got involved with the master in the first place. And then it seems that she actually doesn't really like this guy very much at all. And it actually, she seems to say some things that kind of seem like she got trapped into serving this master. And it's actually the master's agenda that's like driving everything here, and not actually Mei's. And then when we see Mei's agenda is, my loyalty is to my sister, not to your master. And she even says, your master, not my master, or the master, or whatever. And so I think May is very driven by, it's, again, not that I'm making a comparison about them being the chosen one, but it does have a lot of echoes of Anakin's character, because Anakin's very driven by loyalty, right? We see that in how he is as a person. And so I think there's some of that passion that, you know, is some of the same reason that he fell to the dark side, right? I think there's some of those same passions that are at play here in May, and that she's just very driven by, like, my sister is my family, and I lived my whole last 16 years thinking she was dead, and now she's alive. That's the only thing that matters to me. That's what changes everything.
That's my one issue, is this, like, the episode before, we literally saw her say, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And set the fire to kill her. That's my only thing. Like, I haven't cut through this
up. You were like 10. Did you say, like, I hate you to, like, your siblings or whatever, and you didn't mean it, right? Like,
I mean, never.
I'm not saying that's right.
I never wanted to kill my sibling. I never wanted to cremate my own sister, okay?
I'm not saying she's not crazy, okay? I'm just saying, like, I think that loyalty is a driving factor here. And I think that I think it shows us really what I'm hoping is that there's another flashback that shows May's story from, like, when we left off at the end of episode 3 to present, because I think there's something that happened in the meantime there that maybe it was actually her remorse over the situation that drove her to this master. Maybe that's how this master picked her up. I don't know. But I think this is very much a, whoever this master is toying with her broken state about what she's done to, you know, achieve his own interests. But anyway, do you want me to finish off the recap since I'm already talking?
Yeah, we could. About Kelnaka.
Okay. So we see kind of, we have these two search parties that are converging on Kelnaka's final location. May gets there first. She runs into Basil. Really interestingly, though, I think it's right before this, Sol kind of stops and sees something in the trees. I don't know if it's this really specific tree that he sees. He just stops and, like, seems like he senses or sees something that's, like, this other story going on here, potentially.
I feel like, anyway, he might have sensed the dark guy.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm not sure what exactly, but he was staring at this really specific group of trees. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on there, but there's something significant about this moment. Anyway, so we flash back to May, who falls down in front of Basil, who starts screaming. So, like, the other search party, like, runs to where Basil is, which is right outside of Kelnaka. May has her brilliant plan of trying to surrender to Kelnaka. So she runs inside and starts screaming for Kelnaka, like, I'm here to surrender, all this kind of stuff. She shows up to find, oh no, he's dead. And it's fresh because the lightsaber wound is still smoking. So she's like, she pauses and she's like, oh no, he's here. And then we see, like, interestingly enough, the sun goes down, everything gets dark. The other search party shows up. They call for her to come out because she's under arrest. But then Osha, who's standing behind them, like, suddenly this, like, the master that we saw from, I don't know, the first episode or whatever it was, like, floats down into the scene and then, like, shows up right behind Osha. And Osha's like, oh no, there's something behind me. I think Sol maybe sees him first, and then, like, Sol, and they all turn around. Obviously, May's watching what's happening from inside the building. Osha's, like, looking absolutely terrified at this thing that's approaching her. The thing draws, I'm referring it to a thing because I'm not fully convinced that it actually is a man. I know they're referring it to him as a him, but anyway, we'll get to that in a second.
I have a theory about him.
Yeah. So anyway, so he draws his saber, and then she's like, and then, like, he basically throws her aside with the force, and then, like, all the Jedi ignite their sabers. We see some yellow sabers in the mix here. We're getting interesting color combinations. They all charge. He force pushes them away, and that's the end of the episode. So we're like, what is going on here?
Finally,
especially because Sol, like, when he first senses that this, like, dark thing is here, I feel like Sol has a connection to this character. Like, I don't know what the connection is, but Sol definitely seems like there is a personal connection to this character. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it's possible that this master could either be, like, maybe one of the witches managed to survive and it's actually one of the witches in disguise. I think that's a possibility. Or it could just be, like, I think it'd be kind of boring if we went, like, former apprentice gone rogue story again. But Sol has a very personal connection, whatever it is. And so I guess it could be another former apprentice of Sol. I'm not sure. Anyway, so that's where we're at. So the plot thickens.
You want to know what my theory about the master is? He's Khmer.
That would be really interesting.
Think about it like this. All right. So first of all, again, you don't see Khmer at all, like, after he got trapped. That's one. Two, how did the master know anything? Like, how do you get there? But three, when you see the master, he's actually wearing the same cloak that Khmer had, the exact same one. And of course, like, again, like all this thing about like what the master, like what Khmer was saying about the master, like all these different like things. It was just like, there's like some like level of just like some level there of just like he knows more than what he's letting on. And like, I feel like this is like a case of, you know, Ra's al Ghul from a Batman Begins type deal where like he's playing like this specific role. Because again, May does not know who the master is. She doesn't know at all. And we've never like seen them two together in a room. I mean, for obvious reasons, but yeah, so like I have like this sneaking suspicion that Khmer is the master.
That's a pretty good theory. What's the name of that movie? It's like where the dude, he's lumping in at the end. It's like the greatest trick the devil ever played was
Usual Suspects.
Yes,
that Kaiser Soze.
Pretty good theory. That might be interesting because then like obviously we saw him left in the trap, but if he is the master, he'd more than easily be able to get off of it. It would just be the timing of when he killed Kanaka, but that's a good theory. Taranquif, anything else from this episode?
I think the one question I have, and this is like a little question, not a big question, is like, you know how she keeps coming back to the, how are you supposed to kill without a weapon? I'm wondering if the Force counts as a weapon. Like, is she supposed to like go that dark side that she kills them with the Force and she like overpowers them with the Force? Because that would be my first assumption. But
lightning.
It seems like this mystery that she can't figure out. And I'm really confused about what's going on there. But anyway.
All right, so now we can get into our MVP or op of the week. Who do you two have for the past two episodes?
Oh, gosh. It's a really good question, I think. Well, obviously, the op of the week has to be this master person because we still don't know really who they are. They're just showing up and wiping out a whole field of Jedi like they're nothing. May's terrified to the point that she's, you know, making questionable decisions left and right. So I don't know. That's got to be the op of the week. I think Sol might still be my favorite character, though. So I think as far as MVPs, I don't know if he's really like MVP at this point because he's maybe got some questionable things going on. Although I do love how he connects with Osha in a way that like he kind of senses the disconnect she's feeling about where she's at in her family and sort of offers her. I feel like that's kind of a theme actually of the third episode, is like kind of that found family theme in a way about like finding your people, finding where you belong. And he like senses that and offers her that. And he's very like, yeah, I think he's still probably my favorite character. We'll see if there's things that call that into question with all these very various possible connections he may or may not have to what's going forward. But yeah.
I like what you say about like connections, because in our last review, we talked about attachments and we can kind of see the kind of like both sides of it, where it's like, oh, May's attachment to Osha is dangerous to an extent, where it's like Sol, like he's even questioned by Jackie, his Padawan, about like, hey, you can't really be attached to her like that. And then even the green Jedi master, where she's like, you're too close to this for me to keep assigning you to these missions, but like he's connecting with May in a good way. So yeah, but I don't know if you have a different MVP or not.
See, my MVP is still Sol, because he's still that guy. Op of the week, let's see, for episode 3 it's the Jedi, and then for episode 4 it's the master. Again, he out here, he doing the Itachi, just like, bam, you gone. And then it's like, up, force wave, y'all gone. And I'm out here like, man, who, like, Khmer, I know you ain't like that.
All right, so because I have the same. So going into that, we're going to get into our big questions of the week. I'm going to start off because it might lead into your questions. But can Star Wars fans ever be happy? Is my big question.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Never.
There we go.
Oh, man.
But
yeah.
All right. Oh, what question do you have?
I was going to say, I can go. So I think I have a couple big questions. Firstly, and I'll bring up something I haven't mentioned yet first. So the visions that Osha had of May at first, I was kind of thinking maybe this is like May reaching out to Osha, but then May had no idea that Osha was alive. And so this brings me back to the, like, is this a force dyad that we're toying with? Is this going to be the same thing that they did with, like, the whole Snoke creating the bridge between, like, Rey and Kylo nonsense? Like, is this going to be that the Master's actually one that's connecting them? Or is this just the way that Osha's force sensitivity manifests itself? Like, where are these visions coming from? Like, how did Osha have this thing when the first two episodes made it seem like she had no force sensitivity at all? Like, what's going on there? Who forged that connection when clearly neither one of them knew the other was alive until Osha kind of figured it out? So that's a question that I have. Obviously, big question being, who really is this Master person? Like, what, and more specifically, what is their connection to all of the characters in this story? Because they seem to have a very personal connection to the Jedi, and maybe they have a personal connection to what happened on Brendak. I don't know, because they seem to be, you know, weaponizing Mei's experience on Brendak. And so I would think that that would leave us either two categories. One, it's just a completely sadistic, like, Sidious-esque person who just likes to see the world burn. Or it's a person who has, like, very personal investment and vendetta against these Jedi that were involved in this situation on Brendak. So I think, what is the Master's identity? And more specifically, what's his connection to Sol? And what's their connection to, like, the bigger events of what's happening as a whole? And then, yeah, I think other big questions are, what really happened that night on Brendak? How were the Jedi involved? And why is it that why is Kel Naka drawing crazy, like, witchcraft symbols all over his apartment? Are they supposed to be, like, warding symbols? It's supposed to ward something off? Like, what's going on here? Did he become obsessed with researching something? Like, what happened there? And why did Torben and Kel Naka never recover from that night, as it seems is how things played out? So it seems that there's characters that are hiding things. So I'd love to see that story play out further.
Meech.
All right. So besides all the ones that you guys mentioned, which were my questions as well, another question that I had that wasn't mentioned was, all right, at the end of this, how are the Jedi going to cover up this incident? Because of the fact that, again, they seeing a red lightsaber, this group of entire Jedi are seeing this one person with a red lightsaber, and yet again, Ki-Adi-Mundi said that the Sith had been extinct for over a millennia, right? So because of that, there are two ways this is: either the High Council covers this up, in the sense, like, hey, nothing happened here, or B, nobody who has seen this person remains alive. And
or, alternatively, they just completely wipe out and eliminate the threat and say it's dealt with and it's over and they're extinct again.
Again, that also, again, plays with the whole not seen for over a month. So, like, the people who eliminated this Sith, they just gonna keep quiet about this the whole time? And the Jedi Council just gonna, hush your mouth.
That's
wouldn't put it past them.
Hush honestly. Your mouth, or you going to prison.
That's an interesting question, because we know that Palpatine was working in silence all throughout this time, and he obviously had a master who had a master. So, with that, that's very interesting. Think about, like, maybe it'll be a case of, like, they take out whoever this master is, and then, but maybe May or someone else kind of, like, leads into that kind of thing, and they just operate in silence. So that's definitely interesting. So for predictions and the big picture view, so I think that at least three Jedi are getting impaled and getting the donut treatment.
Five, but
that was my initial thing, but I was like, how much is Disney really trying to take out? They're not in their rated R bag yet. So with that, I know in the trailer there is one dude with a saber whip, and
that was Benestra.
Dang it. That person is not black, but they are colors.
That was Benestra with the whip.
So I think we're good.
We are not good.
The color, not. So that works, right?
Nah, she has pure white person energy, okay? She has pure Karen energy, all right? She is Jedi Karen.
So I mean, she kind of looks like a snake. So if you want to go that
way. We are not. She's not escaping the allegations. We're cooked.
So yeah, I think people are getting cooked in the next episode, and then we're going to get a Mei/Osha loosely team up, but they're gonna, by the time we get to episode 6, they're gonna have like a powwow, I think. And then also there's gonna be a reveal of what happened on Rendok in these next 2 episodes is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think for mine, what are you gonna say?
Well, I just remembered there's that really interesting moment, a really important quote, actually, that Sol says to Osha right before she's supposed to go, quote unquote, face Mei, where Sol says, what is it like? You're facing your past. We both are. Right. And so I think there's something more to that. And then what he says right after that is, I'll explain everything when we get back to the ship. So Sol definitely has more to reveal here. And that just reminded me of that. So, yeah, I think there is going to be some big reveals on that, because I don't know what else he could possibly be talking about other than whatever the heck happened on Brendok 16 years ago. So I think we'll obviously see like major battle happen to really kick off this episode. But assuming that our important players survive, which they should, we could have some very, very interesting revelations coming up here very soon.
Yeah. And I think another thing I'm predicting is that Osha is going to like fully regain like her force sensitivity, because it was mentioned in this episode that I skipped over, was like she says like, hey, I'm starting to sense things again. And I think like, hey, maybe like her being close to Mei is finally like, or like actually her just being retrained by Master Sol is going to like, or just her just being in the field in these high stress situations, a la Cal Kestis, is what's going to allow her to like re-tap into the force and be like, all right, let's get it. And also, hey, predictions on which sibling survives, if not both.
I feel like Mei would survive.
I mean, I kind of feel like they both will, more because I think that, again, if we are toying with a force dyad, I think like them being together again, like would amplify both of their power. If that's a situation that we have. So I think they could both survive. Plus, I mean, Mei hopefully is able to handle herself a little bit better than Osha is at the moment, but I don't think Sol would let Osha die. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Could be some real interesting things that happen here in the next few episodes.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, we are going to wrap up. So for our next review, that's going to be in 2 weeks. We are going to recap episodes 5 and 6 of The Acolyte. We're probably going to have another special guest on as well. Hopefully it is less divisive, but I doubt that, as episode 3 and episode 4. So any plugs that either of you have?
House of the Dragon came back. So episode 2 is, well, tomorrow, since we're recording this on Saturday, but, and that had some really big moments in episode 1. So I'm very excited to see where this season's going. So,
House
of Dragon fans.
Oh, it's people about to
be cooking. Team Black, absolutely. We're yeah. get those greens out of here.
Yes. All right, Mia, so let's get these plugs and get us up out of here.
All right. But before I do that, I do have to say one more controversial statement. So to end the episode off on the right note. All right. So I found the perfect analysis of Star Wars. All right.
Nani?
So picture Star Wars as a neighborhood. You know, there's this house in the neighborhood that throws a block party every single year after year, and it's popping. Everybody's there. But one year, they decide that they don't want to do it anymore, so they actually hand it off to another family. Now, this new family, they're doing this block party for 12 years now, and everyone's still invited. They do things a little bit differently, but, you know, the general theme of it still stands. Now, some people, they may not like some of the music that's being played or some of the snacks that, you know, is at the table, but they're still dancing together. They're still having a great time. They're eating, you know, they're still doing good. And in fact, even some of the people, they're just striking up a conversation like, hey, I'm not really the biggest fan of, you know, these deviled eggs here. It's like, if I may ask, like, why do you like it? It's like, oh, yeah, it's only because of only because, like, I'm a big fan of mayo. I'm like, oh, okay, gotcha. Because, you know, like, I typically hate mayo, but good on you for liking it. And I'm sure you're, I'm just glad you're having a good time, right? That is the normal Star Wars fan. Now, you get over here to the corner, right? You got this loud people, you know, they're screaming like, hey, what about this song? You know what I'm saying? Why can't we play Darude Sandstorm? I want to play this Darude Sandstorm. Why aren't they playing it? Every single other party I've been to, they play Darude Sandstorm. Why isn't it happening here? You know, they hate it here. They want to go home, and they contribute nothing to the conversation whatsoever. They come back year after year like they are being forced to be there, even though they can leave at any time, and just complain. They make fun of everybody for being at the party, even though they are at the same party that they are ridiculing others for being at. And they also really don't like how the host of the party invited that one couple, because they claim that, like, they don't like how their lawn is decorated. But everybody knows the real reason why they don't like that specific couple in general, for certain reasons. But yeah, this person, they keep coming back to the party year after year without failing, just to complain and make everyone's life miserable. These are the toxic Star Wars fans, or actually, I even hesitate to call them fans at this point. And I know we're not doing words of encouragement, but I'm doing some words of encouragement right now, which is, hey, if you don't want to be at this party, leave. You don't have to be here. You do not have to keep coming back year after year. Just go home. And if you want to listen to Darude Sandstorm so much, do it in your own house. That's all. All right. So now to these plugs. All right. We got our Instagram and our ex formerly known as Twitter and our Threads account under BlurredCity22. Like, comment, subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. Send all messages, you know, in our DMs and chat. We also have our Discord linked in our Instagram page where you can send memes and all that good jazz and pure degeneracy at its finest. We also have our YouTube and Patreon under Blurred City Pod. If you want to donate some extra cheddar, you can access some very exclusive episodes never before seen. You know what I'm saying? And then we also have ourselves our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. This is where, if you want to send us, you know, geek out, freak outs, random fan theories, your own therapy, your own thoughts on the Acolyte show. If you want to send us hate mail, go ahead and do that, because it's only going to end up in the spam mail and never see the light of day ever again. And finally, if you guys want to come at your boy, because I said so much and I'm ready to fight y'all to the day I die, I'm 1v1,000,000 right now and I'm still up. All right. So come find me at the Jedi Born on Mustafar. All right. On Instagram. And then also the Jedi Ronin on TikTok. But that name may change as well, considering my allegiances are kind of skewed right now. But what y'all got for plugs?
Jamie, do you want to go first, or because I'm just going to wrap with this?
Sure. I mean, if you want to find me on Instagram, it's at jaysteach, J-A-Y-S-T-E-A-C-H. I have a Twitter. I haven't really looked at it in years. So if you really want to go find me on Twitter, I think it's at like jswag_8 or something like that. I don't know. Volleyball nickname that stuck from forever ago. Yeah, that's about it. So...
Meech, how long did it take you to come up with that analogy?
A day.
Doing some real hard thinking there.
Literally just one day, that's all. Actually, I'm not even going to say it was one day. It was probably just like a couple of hours while I was just chilling.
We are so putting music over that in post, so.
It should be we didn't start the fire.
We'll probably get sued, so ask me something.
It should be Darude Sandstorm.
All right, so with that... It's not, well, it probably is goodbye forever. We'll just say it's goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See y'all never again.